calling. I'm here. Sorry. Here. Here.
This is Westfall, it's here. All right, I believe all seven members of City Council are present on the Zoom meeting. President Council Chambers are Mr. Fry, Mr. McCann, and Mrs. Westfall. Mr. Richardson, Mrs. Capellini, Mr. Hanum, and Lindsay Stow are present on the Zoom meeting. You might be able to turn on your microphone and just turn your speaker on, Mary. Okay. We are going to do the Pledge of Allegiance, and Mr. Richardson, you are down to do it. I will stand up. Allegiance to the flag.
America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We are two additions to the agenda.
Now joining, Mary Westfall.
Mary is joining via the phone conference. Mary, you might want to move closer to the phone here. I'm not sure. Return your microphone on. Make sure your microphone's on.
Now joining.
Sorry for the technical slowdown, folks. This is a new one. I would like to move on to additions to the agenda. I have no additions to the agenda.
Nothing.
Mrs. Westfall says nothing. Members of City Council. Hiring none from members of staff. Mr. Sanford is in the room.
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Nothing from Mr. Sanford. Mr. Schroyer, are you on the phone?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
I can't see you on Zoom. You must not be on camera, huh?
Yes. Center right.
There he is. I can see you too. I'm sorry. It's that big glare behind your head that makes you hard to see. And it says Coden Schroyer. Okay, well, that's where the technology expertise probably is. All right, on to Chief Snorr. Okay, I heard you come through the Zoom meeting as well. That he doesn't have a camera on him?
No.
Okay.
Oh, yes, he does. He just turned it on. I see him at the bottom now. You could do a refresh.
I can see you individually. There you are. Now let me go back. I'm not seeing you when I don't have you on individually, so that's okay. And then Mr. Aller?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
And Mrs. Brining?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Mrs. Brining is present as well, and she said nothing. Okay, with that, is there a motion to approve the agenda as submitted?
Yes. Second.
It's moved and seconded to approve the agenda as submitted. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and the meeting agenda is approved. I'd like to let council know that City Council chambers are not locked. This is a closed Zoom meeting. However, none of the public is here. There's plenty of space for them, plenty of social distancing space, but there are no members of the public present. With that, we'll move on to approval of the meeting minutes from our April 6th meeting. Mrs. Westfall.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move the meeting minutes of the regular meeting of the City Council held April 6th, 2020.
Is there a second to approve the meeting minutes?
Second.
Okay, it was, I think, seconded first by Mr. McCann. So it's been moved and seconded to approve the meeting minutes as submitted. All in favor of the motion indicate by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. We're up to agenda item 5. And what I ask is for each of our staff members as listed on the agenda to give you an update of what's been going on with our COVID-19 response. Before I move on to Chief Snore, I wanted to let you know that although we've had some scares here in the city, there have been no scars as a result of any activities in the city, meaning we've had a couple of police officers, and Chief Snore can confirm this, tested but not test positive. We've not shut down any city services. And to date, as you're here later, through Mr. Schroyer, our finances are not in an emergency at this time either. We continue to supply all city services. I want you to know that on Friday at my address on Vicksburg Drive in Lincoln Woods, I had 3 city services come by and service my address. The trash was picked up, the recycling was picked up, and the green waste was picked up. So that's going pretty well. We have had a water line break in town. That was taken care of. And we are receiving very few calls in the mayor's office with issues. With that, I'd like to move on to Chief Snore to give his update. And Chief, I'm going to try to fix my camera so I can see you when you speak. All right, Chief, there has been some reports in the press how the city of Toledo and Oregon went on a different schedule than we're on. It's a contingency that you can go on to 12 hours on and 12 hours off. But part of the advantage of that system reported in the media is that they're off for 3 or 6 days. So if they were exposed, they might display symptoms by then. But the schedule you're on is working because we actually took officers off of community policing and other roles, so you have enough officers to staff it on your 8-hour shift schedules. You might want to explain that a little bit.
Okay.
All right, Chief, it's also not a COVID-19 situation, but you might want to update council on the traffic accident over the weekend. Do you have enough vehicles for current operations? Chief, thank you. Any questions from council for Chief Snorr? All right, thank you, Chief. Any further questions for the chief? All right, then. Let's move on to Mr. Aller, who's going to report to us as our Public Safety and Service Director. Mr. Aller.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We've adjusted...
You're not on camera. Okay, can people hear Mr. Aller?
They probably won't be able to.
Okay.
We've adjusted, in the service department, we've adjusted schedules, as I think you, council was aware. We've gone to basically two groups of people. One group will work a Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Tuesday, Thursday schedule, and the other group works a Tuesday, Thursday, Monday, Wednesday, Friday schedule. It's worked out well. We really haven't had any issues. We've had a couple of employees that have come down ill, but have not been diagnosed with COVID at this time. We have had a couple of employees that have had some childcare issues and things like that, but we've worked through them and continue to provide all of the services that we can. The only thing that we really canceled to date or have had to modify is our bulk item pickup program. Because depending on the item, you know, that puts two or three people, you know, in a close area to be able to get that those items into the back of a truck. And so we've suspended that program. Our unlimited program that was supposed to be the first week of May, we have suspended that, postponed it. We'll bring that back at a later date, hopefully, before the fall unlimited pickup. And then Shred Day was coming up in a couple Saturdays, and we had to cancel that. That also would be postponed if we're able to do so. So we continue to function. All the departments are doing what we normally do. We're just doing it a little differently. We've had a couple water main breaks during this time, and we've been able to handle those with no problem. So everything is going as well as can be expected with what's occurred.
Are there any issues with and people complaining about access to either services or to city facilities?
Actually, the you know, our interaction and conversations with the public are reduced because obviously the public's not out and about and doing as many things. But those interactions that we have had have really been, you know, extremely pleasant. It's everybody understands that everybody's working through some tough times. They've been more than appreciative. Several more thank yous. It's gone well as far as the public's concerned, as far as I'm aware.
All right. Any issues between us and the county and the Office of Emergency Operations?
No, everything is fine there. The mayor came into the building earlier today. He said, well, we're idling. Everybody's in idle position. Everything has been pretty steady for the last couple of weeks. And that's really, in my opinion, what has occurred with the EOC and those messages that everybody's bringing out. Now, there's a lot of work, obviously, with the governor making the announcements that he made today, and, you know, the push to get the economy and life back to normal, so to speak. You know, that's probably going to change, but everything's been pretty consistent out there.
All right. Any questions from council for Mr. Aller?
How are we going to handle the green waste stickers?
Dark waste is still going along. We are, if somebody has a sticker from last year, we're honoring that sticker.
Say that again.
If somebody has a sticker from last year, we're honoring that sticker. And if people can do send in the payment or something of that nature, then we're handling everything through the mail. So we've done what we can in that manner, but we're honoring last year's stickers if they have.
Is there anything that we could put online for people to sign up for one to have it mailed back?
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yep. I think it's on there, but I'll double if we don't, I'll picture is.
Okay.
All right, thank you, Mr. Aller. Next, I ask Mr. Schreier to give us some updates on our finances. We've heard a lot about the layoffs, 320 layoffs or furloughs for the city of Toledo. Lucas County is looking to reduce their budgets by 20%, and of course, Toby is, that's his job to be looking at that for us as well. Toby, why don't you go through your bullet points? When it's your turn, you can stand behind me so you're on screen and they can hear you. I'll turn it to Jeff. Can you hear what's going on?
Not really. I'm hearing it from somewhere.
I will say, Toby, that on the network news tonight, they talked about some hospitals losing 40 or 50% of their revenue because of the surgeries being delayed, like knee replacements and hip replacements, and they're trying to cut pay and cut hours in emergency rooms around the country. I assume not the ones that are fighting the COVID right now. I think that perhaps Mr. Aller, perhaps Mr. Sanford talked, and he's going to talk about that possibility when we get to ProMedica and Flower Hospital. Right. The difference might be that the income's not coming into the hospitals, and they're trying to cut some of their fixed costs, but so many ProMedica people are salaried personnel, and I think their income taxes might continue to us. At least we're going to know more at the end of April, and we'll pay attention to it. We'll be back to you with recommendations for actions we feel we need to take. Right, I think the governor wants to reauthorize those just as soon as he can. It's the PPE that seems to be the problem. All right, if there's no questions for Mr. Schroyer, I'd like to move on to Mr. Sanford, and I'm going to turn my camera towards him so that you have a chance of seeing him. I'll move out of the way here.
Thank you, Mayor.
Can you hear him?
And if there's questions, you know, please, and maybe they can be relayed to me via one of the council members or the mayor. And I had talked to Toby earlier today, so I knew more about his report and some of the things. And I looked into some of the companies that he wanted to know more information about, because he probably went over that about the different industries and what areas that, like the nursing homes, the schools, and places like that, that there really hasn't been a problem, but there some other companies is more the question of what are they doing with their employment levels. After our last council meeting, I did reach out to Greg Braylock, who's with Flower Hospital in ProMedica, and I sent you via email that update on what they're doing. I know of people that are having doctor appointments via phone calls and telemed and whatever, so that part of their operation is going on. The elective surgery, where I think they do is a profitable area for the hospital, that's really been curtailed. And when Toby and I talked, it's just going to have some time to see how this is going to, you know, pan out for those facilities here in Sylvania and how it's going to affect us, you know, financially. So we're keeping an eye on that and seeing where that's going to go with them. As far as some of the other companies, and I believe I sent this out, everybody should have gotten that email about some of the other companies I've talked to, and hopefully you got that. JDRM, you know, and these are some of the companies that are in our top 15 companies the income tax in Sylvania. JDRM is doing really well. They've a lot of remote work. They've only had a couple people that they had to furlough, but they plan on bringing them back pretty soon for some of the work that they have going on. So that was good. UBS has not had any layoffs, and most of their people work remotely. And again, it's a business that they can do that. And Union Mortgage, that was formerly NOIC, is the same thing. You go by, you don't see many people, many cars there at their lot, but they're all working remotely, and they did not lay off anybody, and they're still you know, in working at this point. Root, I'm going to have a meeting on Wednesday with Jim Howden. Jim has agreed to help with the chamber, and I'm part of a committee that Michelle Spratt put together about the business restoration, you know, with the results of this pandemic. And we've had one meeting. It was pretty good to talk and hear from some of the businesses, probably similar to what I see that Patrick has doing with the bars and restaurants. And Patrick, I think I told you I'll attend that meeting tomorrow with you, so going with that. So it's just been good to hear from different people and what they're doing. Dave White is operating at 40% of their capacity right now. And again, they're just like everybody else. They're watching and see when they can bring more people back and open up further. St. Joseph Parish, a big one of our top companies, when you look at it that way, even though it's a church, 98 employees, and 48 of them have been furloughed or reduced in their time. And again, the biggest hit for the church was their collections and not having people in church, and they're still getting, you know, pretty good support, but that's really hurting, and as I'm sure all of our churches in the community are hurting without having people there present to make donations. The other thing I started to look into, and this kind of came from that meeting with the chambers, talking to some of our banks that are involved in some of these federal programs with the paycheck program and loans and whatever, there is substantial loan processing going on with our banks. Banks are working. I talked to Waterford, I talked to Signature, I talked to First Federal. And they are processing, there's, and just from those, there's over $300 million that are part of loans that are going to be coming into those banks that are going to be working with businesses, and most of them in the greater Sylvania area. And they're filling out more applications for these loans than what they would see. And you know, they're doing, in a few weeks, they're seeing as many applications that they would see in 3 months on a usual, on a regular basis. So there's, that's a positive. And Toby and I talked about that a little bit, how that is all going to translate into the payroll tax collections at some of the places. So there's going to be, you know, we'll definitely see something from that and how this works out with all the individual companies. So I'm going to continue to talk with people, and then if you hear anything or know anyone that's having a problem, please let me know and I can reach out and see if there's any way we can help the companies.
Any questions for Mr. Sanford?
I did have a question.
Katie.
Can you hear me?
Katie's asking one.
Okay.
Why don't you listen?
Are they considering loans for smaller business?
CIC or Chamber?
Katie, the Chamber, I don't think is the CIC. We're going to talk about it at our next meeting, but in the CIC, a lot of the banks are represented on our loan committee, and we've had some conversation, and basically the message was, let the banks, you know, take the lead on this right now. And so with the smaller businesses, hopefully they're working with their bank to fill out these applications. There is an expectation for the second round of federal money to come through also, and they're really gearing up for that. So there might be something with the CIC on a smaller scale, but we're going to follow the lead of the banks on that. Mark, did...
So my question, Bill, was, and this is great information, and I appreciate the effort. What's the next step? Are you just going to keep drilling in and talking to other businesses around town to find out where they're at, what's going on, particularly those that we may think just anecdotally would be most impacted? That would be helpful just to understand the ones that would be, obviously the restaurants and bars would be impacted, but there's others around town that you may be able to think of to reach out to.
Right, and that's part where this committee that Michelle got started at Chamber, and I went to this meeting last week, and it was one company and that the owner was on, and he said, yeah, everything's fine right now, but if things don't change in another month, he's in real trouble. He has three places. He has to pay rent at three different spots. He's very nervous, so this could be, you know, so he's the type of person you want to work with and try to find out if there's something that can be done, but there's a lot of people that are very nervous.
Thank you.
Okay.
I know that I am nervous as well with my payroll protection program application. It sounds like Ruth Chris Steakhouse and Marriott Hotels and those sorts of national chains got in ahead of me. But I did turn in my application, and I've heard from my bank that it has now been submitted to the SBA, and it will be funded if more funds are made available. Hopefully there's a lot more people than I in that category, but it sounds like the national chains and the big companies raced in their applications faster than the small companies could. So we'll keep our eye on that. Certainly. They should turn in their application. That's where I'm at. Have their bank process it and then submit it to the SBA. Only the bank can submit it to SBA and get in line. But if they don't If their bank is not accepting applications, they should go someplace else. You've got to get it in there. That was a big deal when I heard that my bank checked my application and they submitted it to the Small Business Administration. Otherwise, I think other people will get closed out. Good. Glad to hear that one. All right. Other questions concerning COVID-19 for me or for the city's administrative staff? Very good. Thank you all for your input. I want to move on to agenda item 6 then, which is the City of Sylvania logo update. I'm going to invite Mr. Sanford back to my camera again. I'll actually put it over here closer to him. There we go.
All right. Thank you, Mayor. And this can be a quick report. And those of you that are at home, and I will send this out tomorrow. We have a couple things I can show on this. That those are your name tags that, and again, what we've been doing is now Laura in the office and Danny are in direct contact, and Danny is sending over different information and for us to review. So we have some things for you to look at, and that's why we'll send it to you. We're not deciding tonight, but we want your input on these. Here's some examples of what the name tag looks like. We'd like your input on that. And then also on this is the pin for the City of Sylvania. And I know you probably can't, this doesn't do it justice, but we'll send it to you and you'll get it and you can look at it, and we want to see what you think and which one you like on the pin, because she gave us some different options. The stationery, there's two options, and I handed this out here, of showing of how that the letterhead can look, and we'd like to see which one you prefer. And again, we just got some different examples of how, and it's kind of hard to show across on this, so I'll send it to you. But again, we'll give you that, and that's how it's working. And then once we're all on the same page, then we can get things ordered and start moving forward with the logo. And the jump ahead to my next report on the downtown plan. It will be on, the right logo will be on the downtown plan when we get that finalized. And Katie.
Something on the computer. I don't think he has anything right now.
Could you repeat that, please, Katie?
Now I can.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Okay, so the in-house sign department at the streets building, they need the logo. I saw they put up signs on the river trail. It has the old logo on it.
Yeah, I know. I think as we put in the new signs and things, it'll be all the right ones will be on it.
Now, you didn't hear Mr. Aller say that he didn't know the new logo was authorized for use, and from now, if City Council authorizes it, we'll continue to use it. Some of the administration has been using it so far. So we will make sure that all signage going forward has the new logo.
Yeah.
And Doug, I can say you've got it behind you.
Yeah, Doug, what do you got going there?
I just stole the logo from, I think it was from Aurora email.
Looks good.
No, yeah, it does look good. And we just wanted a quick report to let you know we've been working on it. Now we're into a regular, you know, dialogue with Danny when anything comes up, and then we can get, you know, get all this moving forward. So look for the this in an email.
All right. Very good. No further questions. Let's move on to agenda item 7, which is the downtown master plan and market analysis. I know that you've all been asked for a couple of weeks for your comments. I saw comments come in from several members of council. I don't know if I didn't saw all that were submitted, but again, I'm going to have Bill come up here and talk from my iPad. Bill, I'm not sure why you're not using your phone for your Zoom meetings. Here is Zoom for.
I know. I should have planned better, Mayor. That's on me. But here's the plan. I'm borrowing. Lindsay probably recognizes this. This was I printed up her suggestions. Thank you, all of you that have given suggestions. The next step is I'm going to put all those together. And again, if you didn't give me, and I heard from just about everybody, if you didn't, that's fine, because I'm just trying to get all this information to Michelle Johnson so she can prepare for the next meeting. I expect by Wednesday to send you an invite to set up the meeting with her. It'll be like this. It'll be a Zoom meeting where she will, calling from her office, and will check in with us, and she'll have all these questions and comments in front of her, can talk about and respond to all those issues that we raise, and kind of talk about where we're at and what's the next step with the process. And then also we'll schedule it for about an hour, hour and a half, probably just be about an hour. She's pretty efficient with the time. So just again, if you think of anything else, if you haven't commented, just get it to me, and we'll include it in the packet that we send to her. And I've talked to a few of you about it, so I think we'll have some good information to get to her.
Questions or comments for Mr. Sanford?
Oh, I just submitted my observations today.
We did see them. I saw them back. They did arrive. And I think Bill saw them as well. Yep.
No, thank you all.
And do recall that we have another phase of the study to authorize once we're satisfied with the results of this phase. We're not prepared to recommend it yet until we see the final results from this one, but I think that will address some of the questions that we got, why the study didn't go as far as it could have. Well, we haven't authorized the final phase yet. If there's no further questions on that, I want to go to Mr. Aller. I don't know whether Mr. Aller is trying to get on the Zoom, or he's going to come stand next to me, or what he's going to do. I thought these guys were going to be on their Zooms also.
I haven't get it today,
Here, I'm going to turn this towards you. There we go.
This is an annual ordinance. ODOT comes through and offers their cooperative purchasing program when it comes to rock salt. This past winter is obviously a mild winter. We only used about 960 tons of salt. I think our hedge here is that the prices this next year will be lower than typical, and so therefore we're taking a look at trying to take advantage of that, fill our storage areas as much as we can, still need some operating room. So we're recommending to move forward with 1,500 tons of salt for this year, this winter season.
All right, the way this system works is we've done this for a number of years, is we are obligated to buy this much salt from the state of Ohio, whatever price is established. Because there wasn't much salt used in the region last year, it was a mild winter, we expect lower prices this year, but that can't be guaranteed. This replaces a system that we used to do 10 years ago and for a long time, which was to put out our own bids and bid separately from ODOT, but that ended up not working well for us. This program has worked well for us for a number of years. And so what we're looking for tonight is we do have Ordinance 19-2020, which authorizes us to enter in an agreement with ODOT to buy this de-icing salt as recommended by our service director. Any questions for Mr. Aller?
Yeah, I have a quick question. Refreshing my memory on where we store all the certainly out at the buildings out on Swing and Moore. There's none stored downtown at all anymore. It's all stored out there, correct?
We use the new facility out at Sylvania Metamora Road as our primary storage, but we do utilize the existing structure for some storage. So it's, that structure we probably won't put any more maintenance dollars and things of that nature into, and it ultimately converts to using just the storage.
And just out of curiosity, does this stay and last forever? Like, can you just put the new salt on top of the old salt, or do you have to do some kind of rotation to ensure that the salt is good for many years to come?
Yeah, we rotate the salt. Basically, what we do at the end of each season is we take the stuff that's in the back corners, we move that over to the one side and to the front, and then the new stuff that's delivered will go where it is. So, yeah, we try to rotate it so that we don't have the same 1,000 tons sitting in the back of the building all the time.
Yep. Other questions for Mr. Aller? If not, I'm looking to Mr. Fry to read proposed ordinance 19-2020.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to introduce ordinance number 19-2020. All members of council having previously received copies, I will read by title only. Authorizing the mayor and director of finance of the city of Sylvania, Ohio to enter into an agreement with the Ohio Department of Transportation for the purchase of roadway de-icing salt, waiving the second and third readings and declaring an emergency.
Second. It was moved by Mr. Fry and seconded by Mrs. Westfall that ordinance number 19-2020 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move final passage of ordinance number 19-2020.
Second.
It was moved by Mr. Fry, seconded by Mr. Hanum, that ordinance 19-2020 be approved as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and ordinance 19-2020 is approved. Thank you. We're not even to summer yet and we're buying for next winter. All right, moving on to agenda item 9. This is the Lucas County Water Resource Recovery Facility, known by some of it as the Lucas County Sanitary Sewer Treatment Plant. It's out west of Maumee. It's near the Ballin Timbers Mall and National Historic Site. You can, on the right days, you can smell it as you go by on the Anthony Wayne Trail. We have had a contract with Lucas County for this since the early 70s. Prior to that, the city had a sewage treatment plant about where my architect's office is, in fact, right where my architect's office is. And we were given a choice at that time. The EPA said we couldn't continue to use that plant, it was too old. I don't date back this far, but this is what I've learned. The city of Toledo offered us a contract, but Lucas County had already started their plan, and they had a contract with the city of Maumee. It was a reach for the city of Sylvania to get down there. We had to build sanitary lines down McCord Road, and it's quite a large line, and we're doing maintenance on some of those over the years. But the contract with Lucas County Sanitary Sewer Plant, or the Water Resource Recovery Facility, is now far more economical than it would have been if we had been with Toledo. Toledo's gone through some very big expenses trying to separate storm from sanitary and has become a very expensive resource. So this is where we want to be. But the contract with this has remained the same as it was, dating back until that initial contract in the early 70s. And for some reason, we don't have a simple contract that just flow. We have a contract that takes into the strength of the effluent that's coming down from Sylvania. And that's what the service director and Lucas County is asking us to update at this time so that everybody pays on a flow basis. It's a much simpler calculation. And for many years, we saved money being on this strength formula, but for the last 10 years or so, it's cost us more money. So I'm going to turn my camera around again so that Mr. Aller can talk to you more and give you the details that are in his memo and answer your questions.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yes, the formula that is
that is in our Sylvania agreement is unique. We are the only city that has that formula. All other communities just stay on a percentage growth basis. And for some reason, back in the 80s, when the city of Sylvania joined into the system, this formula was developed. And I have to assume at that time that it was made, the request was made by the city, just for the fact that the other agreements don't have it in there. But I certainly don't know that. It was before my time with the city or the county. I can tell you from my previous life, and having to deal with this equation and deal with the samples on a quarterly basis, this is a nightmare. The current plant operator would love nothing more than to be rid of this. When I was there, I would have loved nothing more than to be rid of this. It's cumbersome. It's confusing when it comes to making sure that we have the cost allocated correctly. And I think history has shown that while it definitely makes a difference, I don't think that there's a large difference. I'm guessing a little bit here, but I'm assuming that the city felt that the county was going to have more of an industrial flow than a residential flow, which is how it turned out. And had they had the industrial flow, there may have been a bigger difference there. But because most of the flow that enters to the Lucas County facility is a residential type flow, there's really not that much difference. It's really based on where that sample tube is in that large sewer plays a huge factor in how those rates go up and down. There are guidelines on where it's supposed to be, but obviously during time, high flow, something comes into the line and cuts it, what have you, that just gets misplaced. And it's just not I don't believe it to be a good standard to base our billing on, and we recommend the flow. The mayor indicated, you know, during the 2010s here, we have paid a little bit more. It really hasn't made a big impact in the last 10 years. It's only, you know, about $5,000 a year. That's, you know, our annual budget is about $3 to $4 million. So $5,000 isn't a real big factor. In the 2000s, we actually came out. We came out a little bit better over those 10 years. But especially in the 90s, we got hit hard with it. It did not work for our favor through the 90s. So, because of how that swings and because of the inconsistency in it, because of the issues that it comes with it every quarter, all parties are in agreement, I believe, from an operational standpoint, to modify this and just change it to a flow-based system, just like all of the other communities. And that would be our recommendation. But we can certainly dig into it. I can have the numbers for you and show you how it can change things and that kind of stuff in the community.
How do the fellows that ride down that little one-man lift feel about this change? I've seen them go down in there. It's clear down, it's just north of Central Avenue on the west side of McCord. And I bet you they won't miss that trip either.
They won't miss having to go down in there a couple times a week. You know, and that's just to pull the samples, the sampler. And you can imagine when dealing with wastewater, it's a pretty corrosive environment. It's not real pleasant or nice to equipment, so it tears it up pretty good. So the maintenance on that can become cumbersome too. So definitely not an operation. You know, when we do that, you know, by the time you get the sample, take it down to the wastewater plant, come back, we lose a warranty. You know, we lose a warranty of at least one person, sometimes two, depending on how cooperative the sampler is. And that's just, we can use that time. I think we can use those personnel better than driving the sample around. So.
All right. You can have a message or a motion tonight to refer to utilities, which would be Mr. McCann's committee, or you can direct the administration to prepare the legislation to do it.
So I move this administration to prepare a legislation.
Mr. McCann, what do you have to say about that?
Second.
There's a lot of jokes that we could say here. Okay, there's a motion and a second to have the administration prepare legislation to amend the existing wastewater sewage, sanitary sewer contract with Lucas County. All in favor of the motion indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes, and we will have that legislation for you at our next meeting. If anybody does have any questions about it, Mr. Aller, I'm sure, would be happy to answer them. If anybody wants to inspect it personally, you can do that as well. I do have a question for Mr. Aller, and it worried me when we had this toilet paper shortage, and I've seen in the media some people's pumps and other things have been garbaged up with paper towels and things like that. Are we having any issues with our treatment or our pump stations or anything?
No, so far we've been operating just fine on the sanitary side. We haven't had any concern.
I think we're fortunate people aren't using newspapers. I saw somebody thought it was a really swift idea to take a roll of paper towels and cut it up into two or three sections and use that. That doesn't disintegrate the way regular toilet paper does. So I'm glad to hear that. All right, that gets us down to agenda item 10, which is committee reports. Anybody have any committee reports to be made at this time? Mrs. Westfall or anybody else? Not hearing any committee referrals? Agenda item 11. Any further items for discussion? Hearing none, is there the only informational item is just our normal end of the month bank reconciliation statements. We have no further documents to share with you at this time. Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
It was moved by Mrs. Westfall, seconded by Mr. McCann to adjourn. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and this council stands adjourned until its next regularly scheduled meeting in 2 weeks on Monday, May the 4th at 7:30 p.m. Thank you all for tolerating our Zoom conference. We'll work on it. I'll get more people to bring their phones or whatever. And again, we are spread out in council chambers. You could consider coming back. There are markers on the tables where the 6 feet are. But we have plenty of room to spread out if you choose to come in person. But we will continue this Zoom option. Thank you all very much. Yes. Everybody have a good evening and be safe.